Global markets have decided to kick off the new month of December with a positive start, with all markets, including Asian equities, trading in the green today. Positive reasons could be the anticipation of a vaccine coming sooner than previously expected, even though it's not exactly certain as to when. Then there's the expectation that fiscal and monetary policy measures will continue to be freely available to better ensure a recovery from the impacts of COVID-19. The local all-share index ended the day up just over 0.7% to close at 57,510 index points, with all the counters seemingly in positive territory and gold counters doing particularly well. They were up 6.7% on the day. The gold price is also up, trading above $1,800 an ounce. Other precious metals are also having a good day. Even the local currency is booming. We see it trading around 15.22 against the US dollar, 18.28 versus the euro, and 20.34 against the British pound. Well, to take us through the markets, I'm joined on the line by Nissan Nair. He's a senior portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities. Thank you so much for joining us, Nissan. So market players are seemingly in a good mood today. Any particular reason for this?
Yes, Nampu. Good afternoon. It seems like we've done a complete 180 from yesterday. Yesterday, things seemed to be so gloomy. But I think you made the point. It was month-end. Maybe there was a bit of profit-taking. Mm. And today, it seems like just a resumption of risk back on the table very strongly. You mentioned gold, also the platinum, palladium were also up. Oil prices looking good. The rand is strong. And across the board, I mean, we had very strong financials. The results that came out today, you mentioned Redefine and Nampak, not so good, but of course the market is forward looking. And it seems like investors want to buy. So this might actually be quite a strong December. Having said that, it's still very early days.
Indeed. Of course, the transition in the United States, the political transition seems to be now running quite smoothly. And Mr. Biden is obviously going to be running things. What's the expectation there?
I think the market seems to be entrenched in the belief that the Biden administration will stimulate the U.S. economy. You know, the talks of a package exceeding $2 trillion is still ongoing. The Democrats might find themselves, struggling to achieve that, in my view, but certainly the market seems to be backing that story. And of course, monetary policy is going to be pretty loose as well. Interest rates are going to stay lower for much longer. And I suppose that's the main reason driving returns in markets and things like gold. Ultimately, people are not going to put their money in the bank and earn nothing. They might as well take some risk. And that's what we're seeing now. You know, people are comfortable with investing in the markets or in hard assets like gold, precious metals, oil, because the returns are, potential returns are probably going to be better than what they're going to get out of the bond market.
What's the reality with this stimulus? How much of it, as a proportion, if you could guess, goes towards the real economy, towards helping people who are jobless, people who are struggling, you know, right now, as opposed to, you know, just flooding the market with more liquidity so that you can buy assets and overprice them beyond their actual real fundamentals?
Yeah, so this is what's the age-old debate. I mean, we've seen this ever since the 2009 financial crisis when, the solution to every problem was just to throw enough money at it. And it seemed to have worked. The problem is, as you say, it doesn't actually get to those that need it. Mm. Ultimately, it remains sort of stuck in the financial system and used to gear positions or returns so that inevitably more money gets made. And as more money comes in, then it gives institutions the ability to make even more money out of it. So I don't think there's any change from that at this time around. But I do think that the initiatives to put the money in the hands of those that are genuine this time, the global response to COVID-19, or the economic fallout of COVID-19, I should say, as opposed to the health consequences, the economic response was very strong. Ultimately, a lot of money went to people that needed it. And, the question is, what happens when the pandemic is over? What happens to that money? Does that money get absorbed back into the system? or back into the fiscus, or does it just remain in the system? And I think the market is betting on that it remains in the system.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, in the recent weeks, we've seen quite a lot of foreign investors coming into our markets, particularly the bond market. I did see a note from JP Morgan Chase yesterday advocating that investors begin to look closely at SA-facing stocks, you know, the likes of MTN and a whole list of others that are very deeply rooted in the South African economy. Would you agree with that sentiment? Because for the longest time, of course, we have been undersold.
Yes, I think what's happened in the last sort of 5 or 6 years is you've got the US markets becoming increasingly expensive to the point where, as much as a lot of investors appreciate that earnings have strong momentum behind them and earnings are going to grow and, you know, NASDAQ and tech companies are going to continue to do well, there is more and more there are more and more investors who are looking at it and saying, well, listen, what other opportunities are there? Emerging markets do present to be very good opportunities, especially post the crisis. So we had COVID-19 now. We've had the Rand blowout. We've had a period of economic stagnation. We might still very well be in that. But the market looks forward, and the market is betting that we've probably seen the worst of those things, and which means that there's now potential for vast improvement. So the likes of MTN, the likes of First Rand, you know, some of our, the likes of Capitec, those sort of businesses, clicks that are in the eye of the foreign investors, I think will remain good prospects for share price growth. If that sentiment remains.
Yeah, just a quick disclaimer there, you sort of work for First Rand.
Worked before, yes.
Yeah. And then just taking a closer look at those company results that we touched on at the top, Redefine, of course, they're in the property sector. Also, Vugile Property Fund Limited, they were also out with results. This sector has been hard hit by the COVID-19 situation, but apparently seemingly bouncing back. Your thoughts?
Yeah, just looking at Redefine's numbers, I mean, you've gone from a rand of distributable earnings to almost half that, right? Which then begs the question, how much more pain are they going to take? Now, the share price at 2.40 might look like a good investment you're getting at. Effectively, even though it's not being distributed, but effectively getting a return of 20% on your cash. Unfortunately, I think that the worst is not over for a lot of these property companies. I think if you read between the lines, they've had to offer extensive support to tenants. And the problem with that is, you know, at what point in time can you not afford to support them?
Yes.
So I think tenants are going to go through a period. It's not going to just be 6 months or a year. They're going to go through an extended period where they're going to need the landlords to actually support them. And we're going to have to wait until the economy recovers as well before that fully happens. So, whereas these shares do screen very cheaply, I would not be putting too much of money in them. I think you need some exposure to properties and asset class. But, you may be tempted, to increase your exposure at this stage, which I think you should be a bit cautious with. Still standing strong, though. I mean, even GrowthPoint, with their numbers a few weeks ago, I think that the property companies, the listed property companies in South Africa, are still going to be around in the next 10 or 15 years. I don't think it's a complete write-off like a lot of people might think right now.
Yeah.
But I do think it's going to be a hard start for them to recover.
Mm. And previously, before COVID, you know, because the South African economy has been sort of lackluster for quite some time, even before, you know, they were helped by the fact that they had exposure to other markets like Poland, for example. But now those economies have also been buggered by COVID.
Yeah, even, in some senses, even harder than South Africa.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of South African companies that have probably come in their investment in Poland, something that or in Eastern Europe, I should say, something we follow quite closely. You know, there was during the second round of COVID infections, you know, the shopping malls there were largely closed. And, you know, as you can imagine, you know, it is very difficult to make rental collections when you're not getting any revenue
indeed.
From your tenants. So, until the vaccine is distributed and it takes effect, I think that COVID-19 disruptions are going to be something we're going to have to live with when it comes to property companies. Mm.
Nissan, thank you so much for your time as always. Nissan Nair, he's a senior portfolio manager at Sasfin Securities.